Random House Audio presents Thinking in New Boxes. Five essential steps to spark the next big idea, a new paradigm for business creativity. By Luc de Brabander and Alan Eaney. Read for you by Alan Eaney. Please note, this audio program includes a PDF of images you may want to view to enhance the listening experience. For easy reference, from time to time, I will guide you to an image by number and then continue. This book is dedicated to all of our colleagues and clients who have enabled us to learn about creativity while teaching it, and to our wives, Bernadette and Roberta, who have enabled that to happen. Preface. On a small farm, amid gently rolling hills, there was once a playful Labrador retriever named Sartre. Every day Sartre would leap over a fence at the back of the farm to run through the woods and chase squirrels. Eventually, the fence was dismantled, freeing poor Sartre from the burden of having to hop over it every time he wanted to frolic. But Sartre still jumped every time he came to the spot where the barrier had been. He had developed a set of memories and assumptions that made it almost impossible for him to notice the fence was no longer there. Sartre's behavior was in some ways similar to that of the three main characters in No Exit, the famous play by the French existentialist philosopher for whom he was named. Garcin, Estelle, and Inez are prisoners in hell, a box-like room, who long to leave the claustrophobic space. Yet in the play's final moments, when the door suddenly flies open and they are free to leave, they stay, terrified to step out into the unknown space beyond. The dog's mistake may seem comical, and the plight of Jean-Paul Sartre's pathetic characters a bit heavy-handed, yet both of these stories expose profound truths about human nature. Every day, all of us create countless mental models, or what we will refer to here as boxes, in order to make sense of the world. Many of these boxes will help you for a while, as Sartre the dog's fence-jumping tactic did for years, but they can also hold you back and make it hard for you to notice important changes around you. Our brains pull us toward the familiar, so we cling to old boxes that may no longer be relevant. Most of us are averse to risk and try to confirm existing opinions and deny how rapidly and radically things are changing. In today's ever more turbulent world, such failures of perception can be costly. Relying on your existing boxes to simplify the infinite unknown is useful, indeed unavoidable, but relying too heavily or for too long on any mental model can lead you to miss exciting opportunities. It can prevent you from seeing critical breaks in the fence or from achieving success in the abyss of the unknown, which in essence is the fate of the characters in Sartre's No Exit. As business strategy consultants with decades of collective experience working with major organizations worldwide, addressing high-stakes challenges that can affect thousands of employees and millions of customers, we have seen that the key distinction between winners and losers, leaders and followers, those who soar in the face of change and those who are defeated by it, comes down to the form of strategic creativity that we refer to as thinking in new boxes. This process marries pragmatic analysis with the free-flowing generation of ideas. When you think in new boxes, you continuously develop and test hypotheses, including new ways to embrace complexity, navigate uncertainty, and prepare for the disruptions that inevitably await you. Perhaps you are an entrepreneur introducing a new idea, or an architect imagining a dazzling edifice. Or maybe you're an engineer trying to conceptualize a new software program, a politician seeking revolutionary social change, or a manager leading your organization through one of the most perilous economies in modern times. No matter what challenge you face, the creativity process we describe in this book can change how you interpret everything happening around you and how you solve problems. It can improve how you lead your team despite not knowing what lies around the next corner. After all, no one does. You will rediscover the full power of thinking in all its many dimensions via our pragmatic system for achieving productive, free-flowing, perspective-expanding, life-enhancing, practical, and sustainable creativity. Our system will help you imagine, shape, and then release into the world new designs, strategies, and visions that could help you and your colleagues create the next post-it note or the next iPad, or at least help you think of business creativity in a completely new way. It will spur you to dream up multiple future scenarios in which you could be doing business, and thus better prepare for whatever the future holds. And it will even guide you toward a more open way of thinking about your life, and show you how to ask the right questions to better enable you to reach all your goals, both personal and professional. You will learn to think differently and more effectively, and this will change the way you do business and the way you live your life. And it will be fun, we promise. Chapter 1. New Boxes for a New Reality. Let's start with an easy question. How many colors are there in a rainbow? Would you say 5, 7, 10? At some point in your schooling, you were probably told that a rainbow has a fixed number of colors. The common explanation is that the human eye sees just 7 colors: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And hence many of us were told as children that there are 7 colors in the rainbow. But that's not quite correct. A rainbow is a continuous spectrum of colors, at least according to our models of physics. To cope with complicated ideas such as this, an infinite number of colors, the mind simplifies, placing the physical reality in a more conveniently sized, manageable box. Boxes can include, among many other things, ideas, approaches, philosophies, tactics, theories, patterns, and strategies. Every human idea can be expressed and/or interpreted through numerous mental models or boxes. Your brain constantly uses boxes and cannot do otherwise to make it possible for you to cope with and process reality. The world confronts us with an infinite array of people, places, and objects. We use patterns and systems to simplify these and categories to organize them. We all have boxes of many different sizes. The smallest type of box would be a grouping of like things, such as the consumer electronics companies or the set of coffee shops in my neighborhood. Examples of slightly bigger boxes include stereotypes or judgments: our customers love chocolate, or basketball players are tall. A paradigm is a box so big, for example, democracy or freedom, that sometimes you don't even realize it's still just a box, like being on a boat so big you forget you're at sea. Boxes of other sizes include what we commonly call structures, hypotheses, frameworks, mindsets, frames of reference, and so on. All of these various boxes help make the world more manageable. Every one of us constantly takes the broad variety of experiences we have and information we observe and reduces them to segments or categories, boxes with which we try to make sense of things. But even the most seemingly obvious and widely shared boxes should not be confused with reality. Accounting is always just a snapshot of the past, not an accurate representation of the present. Dividing up your customers into market segments is an often useful distortion that relies upon artificial distinctions and generalizations. In addition to being simplified, a box is your mind's fuzzy representation of reality. You might have a seemingly solid image of the Google logo in your mind, of primary colors for the 6 letters. But could you say with certainty which colors appear twice? Your boxes help you make sense of things, but only up to a certain level of detail, in this case, enough to avoid confusion with some other company's logo, and only for a certain period of time. Every box is subject to revision, refinement, and even replacement. For example, suppose you're eating dinner in a restaurant, and a gray-haired man, who appears to be in his mid-50s, dressed in a well-tailored suit, walks in, accompanied by a much younger woman dressed in jeans and a t-shirt. They look vaguely alike, and you immediately decide that they are father and daughter. When they sit down at the table next to you, however, you notice telling attributes and slowly learn more about them. Perhaps the man presents the young woman with an investment opportunity. and you decide she is a wealthy client of his.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?